It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
From KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Those mid swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauly on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go. Let's go.
We do welcome you in. It is time for another Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Fantastic to have you with us today as we do come your way on a Veterans Day, first and foremost. And I know you've heard this from most of the folks here at KMOX throughout the course of the day, but I am very happy to be able to reiterate it to the veterans out there who were willing to go out and put everything on the line. And obviously, when you enlist in the military, you are willing to give up your life for our country, and so we can have all these freedoms and we can live in this country. It is an amazing, amazing thing. And for myself, and I think everybody here at KMOX, we are indebted to veterans, and I'm very glad that we are able to have a day like today where we do celebrate veterans and we're able to honor them the way they deserve to be honored. We've got a lot coming up on the program today. As always, if you want to chime in, you can do so by calling, texting, or tweeting. If you call or text, the phone number is 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900, or you can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, MattPauley on air. You can also leave a voice message on the Odyssey app if you are listening via that. Here's what's coming up on the program today. We're going to talk a lot about the St. Louis Blues in this first hour. We're going to spend a lot of time, and I want to hear from you later on. So we can start up. You can tweet or text now. And just kind of, where are you at with this team? What's your level of disappointment? What's your level of understanding for where things are at? I am incredibly disappointed with the way things are going, not because of their record. Yeah, they're below 500 at 7-8-0. But there have been some alarming things that have happened. There's been some inconsistencies that have occurred. And while it is still very early on in the season, and I am not running away from that fact, they certainly can get things turned around in a very big way. It's been disappointing. They lost 8-1 to the Capitals. To have two 8-1 losses over about 2 weeks, not even, is not great. They also lost a game in Ottawa to the Senators by an 8-1 score. So where are you at? And again, if you want to text in or tweet in now, you can do that at 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you text into the program, or you can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, MattPauley on air. We have, you know, look, we talk a lot of Cardinals, and obviously so, and we'll talk Cardinals on this program today. We maybe don't talk as much Blues as we should. It's still very early on in the season, but I think that loss that they had the other night against Washington, losing 8-1 after a not very good effort against Utah, where the team was essentially called out by their coach in a really intense sort of way, but certainly they were unhappy with the way they played against Utah last Thursday. They made some changes. Pavel Buchnevich moved off the center spot and moved up to a winger spot. Like, they're trying to do some things. They were very, very clear. Drew Bannister, the head coach of the Blues, was very clear coming off that Utah game that he was unhappy with the way the team played. And as opposed to the team responding to that, what did they do? They went and lost to Washington 8-1 in a game where the third period was one of the worst periods of hockey we have seen in St. Louis for a very, very, very long time. And yes, you can chalk it up as one period and one game and all those sort of things, but there are some red flags that exist right now, and I want to get into that coming up. I mean, they got outscored 5-0 in that final period the other day. Just a horrendous effort by the team, and they're going to bounce back. I'd be very I would be shocked if they didn't completely bounce back against Boston tomorrow. But it's not about how they look tomorrow or look later on this week. How do they look 2 weeks from now? How do they look 3 weeks from now? Where do they find some level of consistency to become the team that they're going to be? And I know people connect this to the injuries to Robert Thomas and Philip Broberg. I don't, and I'll explain that coming up later on in the program. And we'll hear from Drew Bannister. They ran practice today. It was a kind of a teaching-focused practice today. We'll talk all about that coming up in just a few moments. Next hour, we've got a couple guests. We'll talk with Daniel Steve from Fox 2. We'll talk all things with him, including Missouri. Somehow, some way, they find a way to win. It was an ugly game for Mizzou against Oklahoma, but they score a bunch of points in a very short amount of time to make a great play to score the winning touchdown. I mean, it was an exciting finish, an ugly, what, 3.5 quarters, but a good finish. And it's funny, they are a 7-2 SEC team. They're a 7-2 SEC team, and you'd be hard pressed to hear people saying many good things about them. And myself included. I'm not, when that comes out of my mouth, it almost sounds like I'm being critical of the coverage of the team. I'm not. I'm right there with you. But it's just kind of funny when you take a step back and you don't really investigate how they got to 7-2, and you just look at the surface level of 7-2, that should be pretty darn good, and you should feel very good about where the team is at. But I don't think a lot of Mizzou fans do. So we'll dive into that a little bit with Daniel Esteve. SLU Billikens basketball played a non-D1 yesterday. They played an NAIA team in Avila from the Kansas City area, and they won by a lot, but it was the first win of the Josh Schertz era. The TV voice of the St. Louis Billikens, in addition to being our sports director here at KMOX, is Tom Ackerman, and we'll talk Billikens basketball with him coming up at about 7:35. So that's what's going to be going on. Just a reminder for you as well, coming up this evening at 8 o'clock, it is the Gas House Gang. We're going to roll your way from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, myself along with Tom, Kevin Wheeler, and Bernie Miklas. It is a Cardinals Monday, so we talk nothing but Cardinals baseball. We got into some really interesting conversations today. We talked a lot about the bullpen. There were some disagreements between the four of us, too, which I think is really good. I think we all kind of have our own unique take on baseball, and we all look at it just enough differently that we can all understand where the other people are coming from, but look at things a little bit differently. Like, I'm somebody who I would like to see the Cardinals give Gordon Graceffo still an opportunity to be a starter. Kevin Wheeler thinks Gordon Graceffo should head to the bullpen. I'm someone who thinks that Tink Hentz should be looked at for a bullpen role this year because he's having such a hard time staying healthy, and he has yet to throw 100 innings in the minor leagues, and we've seen him in spring training. His stuff plays. I would give him the opportunity to maybe work into the big leagues as a relief pitcher. That doesn't mean close the door on him eventually being a starter. Bernie Miklas disagrees with that. Bernie thinks that this is a guy who needs to be a starter and continue to be developed as a starter. So we had some good, healthy, fun disagreements on the show today, and you'll be able to hear all of that during the 8 o'clock hour. It is the Gas House Gang here on KMOX. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we're going to hear from Blues coach Drew Bannister. He met with the media after practice today. Where does this team go? What is this team focusing on coming off that 8-1 loss on Saturday? We'll discuss that coming up next, and then later on this hour, we'll give you the opportunity to chime in on how you feel about the Blues right now. We're doing that all this hour. It's Blues hockey. We're talking about it here on KMOX.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name's Matt Pauley, continuing to take you till 8 o'clock this evening. If you want to chime in on the St. Louis Blues, in our next segment, we'll be taking phone calls, text messages, tweets. You can voice message via the Odyssey app. If you want to text or tweet in, you can do that now at 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. Looking forward to hearing from you on where you're at on the Blues. You know, when I throw out these sort of things on the Cardinals, always hear from tons and tons of people. The Blues, yeah, it's a little bit different when we're talking about the Blues, and I am interested in, fervor is the wrong word here, but I am interested in just what the reaction is to what we are seeing right now from the Blues, for sure. Wanted to go through some of what Drew Bannister, the Blues coach, had to say earlier today. So the Blues are back practicing after their 8-1 loss to Washington on Saturday. They're going to be in action against Boston coming up tomorrow. And look, nobody was mincing words about how bad of a performance that was against Washington. I'll at least give credit where credit is due when it comes to that. Everybody wore it. Everybody understood it. And that's good. That's better than the alternative. I'm not trying to be dismissive of something that's good. You want to see and hear accountability when things are not going well. That is the first step. But at the same time, when this is the second time that that's happened, teams should not be losing 8-1 like ever. But you definitely shouldn't be losing 8-1 twice in a 2-week span. You shouldn't be losing 8-1 at home on a Saturday night with a good crowd. Like there's so many red flags that go up with performances like that. And while yes, it is just 1 of 82 or 2 of 82, there are some trends and some things that are on trajectories that you do not like when it comes to this Blues team. So let's listen in to Drew Bannister. And he started by talking about what the focus was for today's practice.
Just focusing on some of the things that we identified in the game as far as our line changes and a little bit of our line change forecheck and neutral zone forecheck that we have to tighten up. And, you know, just where we want to see growth in our game. Obviously having a positive day here and feeling good about ourselves.
Yeah, sometimes line changes get overlooked, but there were a couple of positions that put you back.
Yeah, and we've been really good. You know, it was something that we focused on, you know, where we noticed going into the Philly game. And I think, you know, from Philly game on until that second period in that game, our guys were really good. Our shifts were short. Guys were changing properly. We were coming on the ice properly. But it got out of hand from us. And, you know, really, if you look at the first three goals, they were all either offline changes or a forecheck that, you know, if we tighten that up, those three goals don't happen.
Was the Toronto game the one where you were really impressed with that?
Yeah. Even Philly, like in Philly, I thought our shift length and our line changes, and then into Toronto and then into even the Tampa game, like we were changing well, we were keeping our shift short, guys were changing in the offensive zone. A lot of things that we talked about, you know, a team game and setting up your teammate to have success coming on the ice.
So that's Drew Bannister talking about the focus on today, and they were really focused on line changes. They feel like they were in a pretty good spot not that long ago, but they were very upset with the effectiveness of line changes and the team getting caught out of position and giving up some goals. So that was one of the big focuses. I kind of chuckle in a way on that, because there's a lot of things that went wrong in an 8-1 loss, and the first thing you're talking about is line changes. But at the same time, again, that he said it, that the first three goals that they gave up, if you accomplish the line change in an effective manner, you're probably not in that same position. You're probably not being caught the way they were, and maybe it turns into a different game. Maybe not. He would come back to that a couple more times, and you'll hear that as we do continue on playing some of the audio from earlier today. So I was not at practice, but I certainly saw media reports about it, and different folks who covered the Blues made the point that it really seemed to be kind of a teaching day, that as they were going through things, there was a lot of stopping practice and really focusing on some of the very small details that need to get better. So it seemed to be a detailed day. I think some fans would have liked for it to be a hellfire and brimstone kind of day coming off an 8-1 loss, but clearly when hearing from Drew Bannister, that is not the case.
I think today is like, this wasn't a day where we're trying to, you know, it's not a whipping day. I think it's, you know, get information from the players, give them the information that we went over yesterday and that we saw, and just, you know, clean up some of the small things that we can, you know, that we can manage, and it will really make a big difference in our game and feel good about ourselves.
There are areas to improve on all across the board, but do you hone in on one, and if you fix that, maybe everything else falls into place? Is it defense? Is it special teams?
Yeah, no, I think the biggest thing for us, like we said, was our line changes and our forecheck coming off our line change. And that feeds into, you know, how you break out the puck. It feeds out how you come back into your own zone and your returns and how you defend, you know, even your transition game from being able to turn pucks over to get on the offense. So just making small adjustments, and not even adjustments, just getting back to what we do well and trusting each other that guys are going to do their job will make a big difference in our game.
The final thing when it comes to this specifically, kind of like from a big picture standpoint from Drew Bannister, when you lose that kind of way for a second time in a couple weeks, and when just everything sort of around the program, around the team seems very negative, Bannister talked about how tough it is to bounce back from that and the way that you do need to go about that next practice and that next game coming off losses like they just had.
As a staff, as the players, I'm sure it is a tough day to get through, and yesterday was a day where we can collect ourselves and go through things as a staff and then present it to the players as simple as possible and make the adjustments that we need so we can have success moving forward. You know, obviously it wasn't an ideal situation. You know, I read the comments players and I stand by what they said. You know, it was unacceptable for us and we have to be better. You know, but fixing the things that we can right now will make us a better team.
Are you pleased with the way it looked like all the players are engaged, listening, going through? Are you pleased with their reaction?
Yeah, and this group has been really good. Like from day one in training camp, their interaction with the coaches and just, you know, being on the same page. And that's something I think right now, you know, when you get into a game like you do, like guys care. They want to do the right thing, but sometimes they get away from doing their own job and trying to do somebody else's job, and opens up bigger holes. So right now, I think it's a trust thing with our guys. They just trust that you, when you step on the ice, you're going to do your job, and your line mates or your D partners are going to do their job.
If it is a trust thing, that's an issue right now, because if you heard the things that were being said in the locker room after that 8-1 loss, and Drew Bannister alluded to, you know, reading the comments from the players, and you see what Braden Schenn had to say. To paraphrase, there was a lot of talk about not everybody giving a full effort, and there was a lot of talk about some players just giving up in that third period on Saturday. You can't have that. That says something about the character of this team. And I'm not trying to be a broken record here. I'm really not. I would love nothing more than for what I'm about to say, for this narrative just to no longer be a thing. That's what I'm rooting for. I never want to talk about again what I'm about to talk about, but this team has forced me to continue to talk about it. And that's the fact that I stand by the belief that the core of this team are the same guys that did not perform for Craig Berube and got a really good coach fired. And then now that, yeah, there's some additions. Doug Armstrong had a really nice offseason of bringing in players. And I'm not trying to be dismissive of the job that he did, but I still very much question. In fact, I question more now than I did even when Craig Berube got fired about the correct character being on this team. And they're just going to have to prove me wrong. And I am rooting for them to prove me wrong. I want them to prove me wrong. I never, ever, ever, ever want to talk about again that the core of this team is the team that is the group that got Craig Berube fired. I am ready for that to just be part of the past. But it continues. It continues to be part of the team right now because we are seeing them play in a way that lacks consistency, that lacks fire, that lacks toughness, where, again, if you can talk about a team giving up, if you can talk about players individually giving up, that's not good. And at this point, I don't even know who it's a reflection on. It's easy to blame the coach. I think that's kind of the cop-out excuse at this point. Drew Bannister is a perfectly fine hockey coach. Is he a a distinguishable great hockey coach? Probably not, but we haven't seen enough to know that. They played marginally better after the coaching change last year. They were in playoff contention into the final week of the season. All those things are true. It's now his team, and it is his job to get guys to play. And look, they're going to play. They're going to have a bounce back tomorrow. They're going to be fine tomorrow, like I said, but that's not going to show us anything. That's not going to prove us anything. Are they going to have another outing like they had on Saturday at some point in the next week, in the next 2 weeks, in the next 3 weeks, in the next month? And if that happens, then that tells us something. I wish I could watch them play Boston tomorrow and just be able to say, okay, they're good. Stuff's fixed. That was just a blip. That was nothing, and all's good. They can put their best effort of the season on the ice tomorrow night against Boston, and it means absolutely nothing until they start to find some consistency. The team that they've played twice recently, a pretty good team that they've played twice and played well against, is their former coach in Craig Berube. So this group that got that guy fired last year can come together and play good hockey when they're playing against the man? But then the next game after, they play terribly, or I guess not the next game after, they played all right against the Lightning, but two games after and three games after, they just don't put it all together? Like, I would rather them just stink all the way across the board. But the fact that early on in the season we saw the ability that this team had to come back, and then we see their two games against the Maple Leafs where they play some of their best hockey of the year against their former coach, but they just can't keep any level of a high-level play going. I want to get into, because again, I know there's people who are saying it, but Matt, you're not being fair to them. What you're saying is completely unfair because you are not including the fact that they're playing without two of their top players in Robert Thomas and Philip Broberg. I will address that. We might hear a little bit more from Drew Bannister, and we welcome your thoughts as well. You can call, you can text, you can tweet. If you call or text, the phone number is 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call or text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. We welcome your thoughts on the Blues and where they're at right now as we continue on with the Graybar Sports Open Line in just a moment here on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Matt Pauly taking you till 8 o'clock this evening. Next hour, a couple guests, Daniel Esteve from Fox 2 will join us. Our own Tom Ackerman will be with us to talk Slew Billikens basketball. And then at 8 o'clock, speaking of Tom, him, me, Kevin Wheeler, Bernie Miklas, we have you from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock for the Gas House Gang. 1 hour of nothing but Cardinals talk. We get into a lot of things. We recorded it earlier today. We do that every weekday, 12 noon. You can watch it live on the various KMOX social media channels, and then we replay it at 8 o'clock in the evening. Certainly a fun conversation that we had today. Talk a lot about the Cardinals' relief pitching, also the outfield situation, and continue to speculate on who might get traded and what it would look like depending on who does end up getting moved. We're welcoming your phone calls, your text messages, your tweets, and your voice messages. If you want to talk St. Louis Blues hockey, you call or text 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. You tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, or you leave a voice message via the Odyssey app. Look, I've heard from folks who say, I'm not being fair when talking about the Blues and my criticism of the Blues because they are without two of their top players in Robert Thomas and Philip Broberg. And I believe strongly with what I'm about to say. Because if you're listening to the show, you've probably watched sports for a really long time. I've watched sports for a really long time. Not 100% of the time, but you know what generally happens when a team loses one of their top players? Everybody comes together and they find another gear. It's not long lasting. Eventually, the team will regress to the mean. It's kind of like a coaching change. If a team makes a coaching change in the middle of the season, there's always that bump right after it. All of a sudden, everybody's more locked in, and you know the low-hanging fruit talking point, the narratives that are out there. Oh, look, it was the last guy's fault because look how well they're playing now. And then eventually everything kind of comes back to what it was before. That happens. So if you sit there and you lose a Robert Thomas, if you sit there and you lose a Philip Broberg, more often than not, what's going to happen is the rest of the guys on the team are going to find another level. They're going to be more locked in. They're going to put their best effort on the ice. And that's going to last a little while. Maybe it'll last a week. Maybe it'll last 2 weeks. Maybe it'll last a month. It's not going to last forever. You can go back to the tape if you want. When Thomas got injured, and then when Broberg got injured, I said, I'm not going to be judging this team immediately on what's happening. I'm most interested to see what it looks like a month from now when you're still maybe another month out from getting those guys back. Because I had the assumption that they were going to have that kind of liftoff. And they really haven't. I think I was wrong on that. They just haven't. So when people say that I'm not being fair about this Blues team because they are currently playing without two of their top players, I say, I don't think that really applies right now. It eventually will apply, but it doesn't apply right now. And until they find a way to put a consistent effort on the ice, game in, game out, it's just going to be the same stuff over and over and over again. And we're not asking for this team to win a Stanley Cup this year. We're not asking for this team to be one of the top teams in the conference, not to be one of the top teams in the division. What we're asking for is for this team to essentially be a little bit better than what they were last year. Last year, they were a team that stuck around in playoff contention till the end of the year. I think what you would like this year from them is for that to be true. Maybe even they sneak into the playoffs, but the consistency of play to stay at a fairly high level from to the start of the season to the end of the season. And right now, this team is not giving the indication that that's going to happen. Wanted to play a couple other things that Drew Bannister did have to say about this team and where they're at. This game against Washington was the first game where Pavel Buchnevich had moved from the center spot to the wing spot. They feel like it's a better thing for the team right now to have him on that top line. Obviously, it didn't work against Washington. It was just one game. They felt pretty good about how it looked when they did that towards the end of the Utah game. So coming off that game, where is this team at right now when it comes to Buchnevich being on the wing?
Bucci is a player that that wants to excel, that wants to be a difference maker, whether he's on the wing or at center. But at the end of the day, he wants to do what's best for the team. And as a group right now, we think this is best for the team. And, you know, he's been a really reliable center. I think sometimes the player gets frustrated because he doesn't see the points on the board. But I think it's important for him to focus on how he's playing away from the puck and what that means to us. And I can go back to the Toronto game and the Tampa game, like hard matchups. But because we were deep down the center, we won those games.
How do you feel like he's matched up against some of the top guys?
He's done a great job. You know, he's done a great job. Again, like, you know, whether you're playing, you know, against Matthews or Cirelli or guys like that, like he's matched them and he's played extremely well defensively against them. He's made it tough on them. You know, he's a real good two-way forward. And when you put him in that position, I feel like he thrives on the defensive side. And it's just, you know, him, his willingness and wantingness to really, like, you know, push the offense too, but the recognition of what he gives to us when he's down the middle and how he defends so well.
So basically what he's saying there is they do want Buchnevich to eventually be back at that center spot, that they feel good, especially from a defensive standpoint, when he's in that middle spot and what he needs to do against some of the top players in the league. He's done a nice job defensively, but from a team standpoint, they want more offensively, and right now that line at the top is something that they're trying to get something out of. So we'll see. Now they moved things around. When you look at what they did at practice today, Buchnevich was at the center spot with Jake Neighbors and Jordan Kyrou, and Braden Schenn was on the second line. Dylan Holloway was moved back out to the wing. That's what they did a little bit in practice today. I have a hard time believing that that's going to stick around. We'll talk more about that tomorrow and whether it looks like it's going to stay that way following morning skate. I think they were just trying to work on some things today, and we've already discussed that. One player who did not play on Saturday was Alexander Texier. He was a healthy scratch. That came off as a little bit of a surprise, and Bannister did explain that decision.
We've had conversations with Tex, and he was a great player for us, and then he got injured, and I think it was just him timing, getting his timing back. And sometimes it's good just to watch the game, but certainly I think he's going to be a big part of our team and a big part of the success of our team moving forward, and he has a lot to give. And I think, sometimes taking a step back and watching the game and then getting him right back in there, and I'm sure he's going to be a big part of us moving forward and the success we have against Boston.
That's Drew Bannister speaking earlier today, as again, the Blues coming off a clunker, a stinker on Saturday, and they'll try to get it back going tomorrow when they match up against Boston. The finalist for the end-of-season baseball honors being announced, as the Baseball Writers Association has the three finalists for the major awards. We will go through them. I'll give you my thoughts on them. Maybe we'll get Kyle to chime in a little bit on this as well. That's coming up in just a moment. This is Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
Back at it as we roll on here through a Monday night again, a little bit more than an hour from now, just after the 8 o'clock news. We've got the Gas House Gang. Cardinals Monday is going to feature myself, Tom Ackerman, Kevin Wheeler, and Bernie Miklas talking all things Cardinals baseball for an hour. Some of the end-of-season finalists for end-of-season awards coming out. So the Major League Baseball runs their All-MLB award show. That's going to be coming up on Thursday night. I want to get into some of the Baseball Writers Awards in just a moment, but I was looking at the MLB Twitter account. Kyle Sixta, this sits with me a little poorly. A MLB tweet says, some of the most electric players in the sport, which shortstop earned your all-MLB vote? And they list 10 shortstops. Willy Adames, O'Neill Cruz, who isn't even a shortstop anymore, Ellie De La Cruz, Gunnar Henderson, Francisco Lindor, Zach Neto, Corey Seager, Ezekiel Tovar, Trey Turner, and Bobby Witt Jr. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Mason wins even in the top three of that group, but there are definitely some players on that list of 10 who I would take off and put Mason Wynn on.
Having O'Neill Cruz and Zach Neto over Mason Wynn feels very disrespectful.
Yes, even Ezekiel Tovar.
Definitely, and I know he won the Gold Glove over Wynn, but those three over Wynn does not feel right.
Right. There's clearly some... You can even make the Ellie De La Cruz argument.
You could.
Yeah, just based off what he did defensively, the amount of errors he commits and everything. I mean, he's an exciting player. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, I thought that was interesting that there's no Mason Wynn on that list of 10. All right, let's go through some of the finalists for the major awards. AL Most Valuable Player Award finalist, Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, Bobby Witt Jr. There was a point late in the season where it felt like Witt had a little bit of momentum on this one, but I think everybody would be pretty surprised if it's anybody but Aaron Judge.
Yeah, Bobby Witt had a great season. He's going to finish second, I'm sure. And there was a point where it was Judge and Witt, and you didn't know which it was going to be. But yeah, Judge ran away with it.
The Manager of the Year finalist in the National League, Carlos Mendoza from the Mets, Pat Murphy from the Brewers, and Mike Schilt from the Padres. So Schilt's already won one. I would have to laugh if Murphy won it from the Brewers, because Craig Counsell never won a Manager of the Year award when he was managing the Brewers. He always came in second, and I was covering the Brewers at the time, and there were times where I thought that he had earned it, and he didn't. Obviously, with what the Mets did, going from being one of the worst teams in baseball to getting all the way to the NLCS, with all due respect, this is not a shot at Mike Schilt whatsoever, but I do think the Brewer story and the Mets stories and being led by those two guys is a little bit better than the Padre story.
I think I'd agree with that.
Who would you give it to? But I bet Mendoza wins it because he's a New York guy. He's going to get some of those New York votes.
I think it would make sense for Mendoza to win it. And it's his first year, right? Or is it his second?
It's his second, right?
I think it might
be.
Yeah. Either way, obviously taking the Mets from where they were in 2023 to this year, he's probably got to be the leading candidate.
Probably. But Murphy did a really good job in Milwaukee. He did a really... And again, these awards are voted on. The thing that would be going for Murphy, the awards are voted on before the postseason starts. So if you take away the Brewers' failure and take away the Mets' surge in the postseason, maybe you look at it a little bit different.
I would think so.
Yeah. So maybe Murphy ends up winning it. Rookie of the year on the American League side of things. Jackie Robinson, Rookie of the Year award, Colton Cowser, Luis Gill, Austin Wells.
Luis Gill, probably.
Probably.
Or Cowser, one of those two.
Yeah, I guess. Close. I don't know. I don't have a strong feeling on that one. American League Manager of the Year finalist, A.J. Hinch from Detroit, Matt Quatraro from Kansas City, Stephen Vogt from Cleveland. All three of those guys are deserving. I think maybe I lean Detroit because, I mean, they're selling at the deadline, and they do what they did. But then Vogt did it from day – like, what's more impressive, turning on midway through the season or just being really good from the start? And then, you know, Kansas City probably from expectations before the season got started to where they finished. But all three of those, three AL Central guys and all very deserving.
I lean Vogt there just because it was all season long. And to your point, this is before the playoffs that they vote on this. So you take away the Tigers and them making the playoff run that they did, and I probably would think it's Vogt.
Yeah, you're probably right. American League Cy Young Award finalists, Emmanuel Clase, Seth Lugo, Tarek Skubal. I think Skubal wins this.
Skubal all day.
Skubal. Okay, we're on that one. National League Rookie of the Year Award, Jackson Chourio from the Brewers, Jackson Merrill from the Padres, Paul Skeens from the Pirates. I think I go Jackson Merrill.
Really?
Yeah.
What's your reasoning there?
I think overall, I think he had the biggest impact. And Chourio would probably be my second, but Chourio was terrible for the first 2 months of the season. And I don't know, the fact that Skeens was a Pirate and he wasn't used quite as much, that they were very careful with him. They weren't in a pennant race, so they used him differently. So yeah, I think Merrill was the guy from start to finish who had the biggest impact of the three.
Interesting. I just don't think you can argue with Skeens this year. I mean, 170 strikeouts that he had. He's in the Cy Young vote. He's in the final three for Cy Young, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just – we haven't seen a rookie season like Skeens in forever, I feel like. It's got to be him, in my opinion.
I put what they did for a winning team into this as well. So I'd vote him third.
Interesting.
I would vote him third, and that's why I don't have a vote probably. Cy Young finalist in the National League. You mentioned Skeens, Zach Wheeler, Chris Sale. To me, Chris Sale all the way.
Sale.
Yeah, Sale's easy. MVP in the National League, Francisco Lindor, Ketel Marte, Shohei Ohtani. Ohtani all the way.
Ohtani.
Okay, so we're in agreement on most of them. So the one that we disagree with the most is Rookie of the Year in the National League.
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
Yeah, so we'll see. Again, those are going to be announced later, and I guess Kyle and I can have a milkshake bet on who ends up winning the Rookie of the Year in the National League. We will take a break, and when we return next hour, we've got a couple interviews. Daniel Esteve from Fox 2 is going to be with us. Tom Ackerman's going to be with us. All coming up here on KMOX.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.